Well, good morning. Today is Sunday, May 16th, 2021. Well, this morning we'll transition from looking at the perfect heart to focus on the willing mind. In part one, concerning the perfect heart, we saw that God's assessment of people differs from that of us humans. In 1 Samuel 16:7, New King James, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Jehovah, that's the word for Lord, he sees what is going on in the most private part of every person. Sometimes, I know it is for me, sometimes even we don't know our own hearts for sure. But God knows and he understands the complexities of thoughts that shape our points of view. So in light of that, wouldn't we want to see as God sees? Wouldn't that be a logical desire to see through his knowledge, his wisdom, his composure, his compassion, his mercy and grace? You know, God's children have these in the new birth. Spiritually, we have the perfect heart. So next is the willing mind. And also the part of it is keeping that heart, that perfect heart, healthy. Our lives are shaped not by life circumstances, but really when you think about it, they're shaped by our points of view. The way we reckon life, the way we think about things and respond. And of course, we are always presented by the God of this world to do anything but to love and serve the one true God. So we have all these things to contend with. So many scriptures exhort us to fear not and to stand fast on our faith in God and to love with his love. And as we read the accounts, as we read in the accounts last week, our hearts can change. For better or worse. You know, we get these perfect hearts and then they get heart problems. Well, we're going to find out about some of those today, how to keep the healthy, perfect heart. In Acts 24, the Apostle Paul said that his worship of God centered around believing all things written in the Word of God. See, that's the key to a healthy heart. That will keep that healthy heart pure and free. In verse 16 in the King James, "And herein," Paul says, "do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Hey, Paul was not always this way, right? According to Acts 26:9, he thought within himself to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And with a willing mind, he acted upon those thoughts. He threw believers in jail, in prison. He sentenced them to death. It had his full consent, he said. But after a change of heart, which was the new birth, this same Paul went on to nourish that heart and keep it healthy, develop it. And he went on to willingly fulfill God's calling. He turned people's hearts from the power of Satan unto God. And in Paul's witness before Agrippa, he said that to do all of that, he had obtained help of God. Nothing truly worthwhile will change for us without help from God. It is so true. But with his help, nothing is impossible despite any traumatic occurrence in our lives. Remember the man who lived among the burial grounds? He was out of his mind, and he was so physically strong that the word says even chains and fetters could not hold him. And Mark 5:5 records this man's horrific life. You think your day is the same old, same old? day after day, this poor man was in the mountains and among the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. Then, the scriptures say, he saw Jesus afar off, and he ran and worshiped him. Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. See why we can believe that nothing is impossible with God's help. You know, read these scriptures and think about what they say. Picture it, visualize it. The scriptures verify our hope in God, not only for Christ's return, but for transformation in this life. In his right mind, this delivered man asked to go with Jesus as he was getting ready to leave. And Jesus told him, no, you go to your own home and you recount in detail all that the Lord in his compassion has done for you. And Mark 5:20 says, the man departed, he was in his right mind, he was clothed, and he published in Decapolis the great things that had been done for him. So you see, in both of these instances of Paul and of this man who had to be delivered, they both had to be delivered, don't get me wrong, God looked clean, clear through the evil deeds of Paul and saw the yearning of the perfect heart of a willing servant. That was God's viewpoint. Through all the insanity of the man dwelling among the grave sites, God saw his heart to worship him. The man was delivered from the satanic torture, and he willingly proclaimed God's compassion and goodness through that little visit by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God sees your heart. He sees my heart, and he loves us. He has compassion for us. So we go to him. We worship him. The scriptures tell us, ask what you will, and it shall be given. John 15:7. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, which of course Christ said, my words are God's words. So if you abide in God's word, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The Greek word for ask in this verse emphasizes the attitude of the one asking, and he's asking of one greater than himself. So ask is, you know, we do so oftentimes say we have the right to demand or command, but even then it's with the idea of our attitude that we know legally God has made so much available, and through his love, he so yearns for us to have it. But we still need to have that attitude of great thankfulness and worship and praise to him. So ask what you will. Well, what do you will? As God's word flourishes in our hearts, his will be in our hearts and upon our lips. And in the day of adversity, his strength then within us will be strong. With his will and point of view dwelling in our spiritually perfect hearts, it is a new day for grand expectations. And, you know, we're not talking about a new job, a new car, a better house. Those certainly might be in our future, but remember Solomon in his humble estate. He was a king, but in his humble estate, with that pure heart that his father told him to maintain, and his willing mind, he did not ask for material increase, but asked for spiritual increase. 1 Chronicles 28:9 in the New King James. As for you, my son Solomon, this is David speaking to his son, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. Solomon did not sweat the small stuff, the small things. His willing mind was set on serving Jehovah, in doing a good job among God's people. So how does this perfect heart now that we really looked at last week and this willing mind that we're working this week, how do they align? How do they meet up? And I'd like to start looking at this actually back in Exodus to start putting it together. In Exodus 25 verse 2, King James, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." And willing indicates, it means to incite to anything. And it's in the context of the heart being impelled to take action. It was to be a spontaneous offering because of their praise and thankfulness and gratefulness to God. You know, they weren't to mentally wrangle about how to get out of coming to the temple or how to validate going with less than they really had the ability to do. It was timely and generous according as they had to offer oneself freely. How beautiful it is given in 2 Corinthians 9:7, King James, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." God loves a willing heart. He loves a willing heart. And God is able, verse 8, "to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And all sufficiency in all things. So if you need a new job, God's got the sufficiency. Do you need a new car? God's got it. Do you need a better home, a larger home for your family? You know, do you need healing? Do you need deliverance? What is it that you need? When your will is lined up with God's will, whatsoever ye ask, he will give it to you. In Exodus 35, verse 21, King James, "And they came," and it's speaking of the congregation of the children of Israel coming to the temple, "they came, every one whose heart stirred him, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation." So this is it. This is what joins the perfect heart and the willing mind. Their heart stirred within them, and their spirit compelled them to bring their contributions to Jehovah for his sacred use, to the house of the Lord. And what they brought to the work of the ministry was Jehovah's. It was sacred. It was for the use and needs within that congregation. First Chronicles records about these willing offerings issuing from these perfect hearts. Chapter 29, verse 9, "Everyone rejoiced together," it says. King James, "Then the people rejoiced because that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord Jehovah. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." And we're going to next check out David's prayer that he gave, or he prayed over their godly willingness. And it picks up in the very next verse, verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And look at verse 14, what perspective it gives to us. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of thine own have we given thee. You know, all that we are and all that we have, weren't they God's to begin with? Sure. So why is it so foreign that I would give of my time when it's the Lord that gave me time? Matthew 26:41 warns. Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus gave this counsel from the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 40, he came to his disciples and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And in the Greek, the word willing in this verse means ready or predisposed or eager. You know, the disciples were ready. They were eager. But the flesh was weak, and it carried on throughout the night. We saw how that was so. They were so willing in their conversation prior to Jesus being taken, but they realized in the heat of the moment their flesh was very weak. We build strength and grow comfortable doing things when we do them often. They become our second nature, but I'm not saying fake it till you make it. You know, that's not a godly principle. That's not a godly process. And that's not what God means when he talks about the transformation of the mind. We don't rely on muscle memory or doing things rote or scripted or, you know, taking commands from the word and making a list and checking off the boxes. It's not that. It is so easy to misunderstand the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And that's why it is so important to begin to understand the link, the invisible link between the perfect heart and the willing mind, which we will be getting to here in a moment. 1 Corinthians 2 puts it together for us. And it takes a desirous, trusting quality of heart and a willing mind for this understanding to swell for you. And it will grow and it will become second nature. And you will become comfortable in your thinking of it. When I first began reading these verses, I couldn't even read them with understanding. I thought, gosh, what is all this talking about? But you know, over the years, you come to know, you come to learn, and you come to know and believe. In 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to read the entire chapter. It's in the NIV. And so it was with me. This is Paul, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. And it just means that he came humbly. He came believing God to say and do the right things. Verse 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So, you know, don't be discouraged. What's happening out in the world now? The word says it's coming to nothing. Just you wait. Verse 7, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Herein, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no man knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And this is the link. This is the link. The Spirit of God within us. This is the link between the perfect heart and the willing mind. And if we feed that perfect heart, then that willing mind will issue forth the corresponding will of God. In verse 18:25, it's kind of interesting. Speaking of Apollos, it says, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So here's Apollos. This verse highlights that he did not know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, but he was fervent. He was zealous. He was white hot in his spirit. God was working within him. And you know what? The outcome for his life is that very shortly, he was loved by the followers of Christ, brought under their roof, they fellowshipped with him, and they taught him more fully. So, did his need get met? Was he abundantly supplied? Sure, he already had the perfect heart. He already had the willing mind. And now he needed the Spirit of God, a little more information from these fellow believers, and the Holy Spirit within him to bring his understanding full circle so that he could go forward and be better in all that he did. In Romans 12:11 is a great verse. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I love reading this verse in light of the perfect heart and the willing mind, because the word slothful, you know, you think of lazy and you just think of somebody that's lazy, but it actually means grievous. It's irksome to the person. So an irksome person isn't necessarily lazy. A grieving person isn't necessarily lazy. But the point is, we don't serve the Lord out of a sluggishness or act like it's a grievous responsibility No, it is a joy to serve the Lord. We're fervent in spirit. And in, I love this 1 Peter 5:2, where ministers, and we have the ministry of reconciliation, it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So with the perfect heart that we received in the new birth, we feed it, we nourish it with the bread of life. His will becomes our will because we determine that that is what it's going to be. The gift of the Holy Spirit within us is our communication link with our Heavenly Father. So when our Heavenly Father, who is Spirit, needs to enlighten us in any way, He is able to speak or move through the Holy Spirit that is within us to make or impress upon our minds a truth or a specific of any kind. He is able to speak in that way. And this is why our mind should be free of the world's noise. If you've ever had ringing in your ears, you know how distracting that can become. It's like an unsolicited noise. So you want to keep it to a minimum. You want to try to get rid of it. And the noise of this world that rings in our ears, you know, we think it might be the just the noise that's out on the street, the disarray of people's feelings and actions, and but you know, it's really comes from looking at the world through man's point of view. That's the noise of the world. That's the noise in our minds. It comes from looking at the world through man's point of view. The voice of God coming to us by way of the Holy Spirit, then, it's barricaded by giving place to the devil to look at all this stuff through man's point of view. So we can bust through that by reckoning the old man and all of his ways deader than a doornail, as they say. I don't know who says that, but I heard it somewhere. So let's live into Christ in all that we do. Let's give ourselves to the Word of God and His will with a willing mind, with a ready mind that issues from our beautiful and tender godly hearts. And they are enjoined by that. There are every wonderful and great adjective would describe that, by this gift of Holy Spirit, which the Lord designed to link those two together, that we could walk godly in this day, that we could earn rewards for the future, that we could reconcile men and women to God and not sweat the small stuff. So God bless you. Have a great week.